She stared at the two pink lines on the pregnancy test, drawn in Sharpie. Not a real test, not a real pregnancy. But to Lena Hart, the plan was very real. She needed stability, luxury, a future she didn't have to build with her own two hands, and Ethan Caldwell, heir to a family fortune and blind to deception, was the perfect target. The fake pregnancy worked like a charm. Tears, joy, a proposal. But fake pregnancies come with real timelines. So Lena staged a dramatic miscarriage, complete with hospital wristbands, forged reports, and tearful trauma. Ethan held her through it all, until he didn't. Because somewhere along the way, Ethan found the truth. And he didn't leave her. He studied her, learned her fears, waited. Then, slowly, piece by piece, began a twisted campaign to destroy her name, her mind, and her soul, without ever laying a hand on her. What begins as a lie ends in psychological warfare. And this time, the baby isn't the only thing that doesn't exist. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1, The Lie That Landed the Ring. Lena Hart knew desperation the way most people knew hunger. It came back every day. She was 29, barely holding on to her job as a luxury spa receptionist, drowning in debt. And 3 months behind on rent. But what she had, what she'd always had, was beauty. Not just physical, calculated, controlled. She knew how to make people feel wanted, needed, worshipped. And that's how she got Ethan Caldwell. He walked into the spa a year ago, tall, private, expensive. He didn't flaunt his money, but he didn't have to. Lena had Googled his name within minutes. Son of Raymond Caldwell, founder of a billion-dollar real estate empire, a trust fund, a yacht, a house in both Aspen and the Hamptons, and no ring on his finger. She started slowly, perfect timing, gentle touches when handing him a towel, memorizing his latte order. By the fifth visit, she had him laughing. By the tenth, he asked her to dinner. She said yes, and the real performance began. Lena was everything Ethan wanted. Kind, low drama, unimpressed by wealth, or so she acted. She cooked, laughed at his everything, the fake pregnancy, the staged miscarriage, the wedding that never was, clips of her voice pulled from old videos, layered over dramatic music, and at the end, the host asked the same question everyone always asked. Was she a villain or just a woman who got tired of losing? Lena didn't listen past that because she didn't have an answer, but someone else did. Ethan Caldwell, now quietly engaged to a young tech executive, private again, carefully curated. When asked in an interview if he ever regretted the relationship that nearly ruined his reputation, he responded simply, "Everyone meets someone who teaches them what not to tolerate." He never said her name. He didn't have to. It was tattooed on every comment section, burned into every think piece about lies, love, and manipulation. Meanwhile, Lena tried to rebuild. She dyed her hair, changed her last name, took freelance work editing resumes for women who would never admit they remembered her scandal, but asked for her tone anyway. Occasionally, she'd catch someone staring at her in a coffee shop, their expression unreadable. Pity, recognition, judgment. It didn't matter anymore, because the lie had outlived her. And the man who taught her that, he still had the footage, the files, the truth, or at least his version of it. And she knew if she ever stepped too far into the light again, he'd remind the world exactly who she was. So she stayed quiet, because in the end, silence wasn't defeat. It was survival. And Lena Hart had finally learned how to live without pretending. Jokes, listened to his ideas, made him feel like a man, not a wallet. Within 3 months, she'd moved into his penthouse. Within 6, she knew he was pulling away. Ethan was loving, but cautious. His last relationship ended with a fiance stealing $500,000 before disappearing to Ibiza. He wasn't in a hurry to propose again. Lena felt the shift. The dinners got shorter, the sex less frequent, the business trips more frequent. So she panicked and made a choice. She faked a pregnancy, not in a dramatic movie-style announcement. No, Lena understood subtlety. She left a positive test on the bathroom counter, Sharpie-drawn lines on a real stick, then played dumb when he found it. I was going to tell you, I just didn't want to ruin your week. Ethan went pale. Then he hugged her. Then he proposed. Just like that. The ring was worth $80,000, the kind of clarity and cut most women only dream of. Lena said yes through fake tears and an Oscar-worthy sob into his chest. The first week was bliss, but as time passed, she realized she had built a lie with an expiration date. Ethan wanted to attend her appointments. He cleared his calendar for sonograms. He read articles aloud at night, how to support a pregnant partner, what foods to avoid, what supplements to buy. It made Lena feel sick, and not from morning sickness. She faked nausea, bought a fake sonogram online, faked doctor visits by parking in front of the clinic and waiting out the clock. Everything was spinning beautifully. Until the 8th week, when Ethan asked, "Can I come to the next appointment?" She said no. He didn't push, but he grew distant. That's when she staged the miscarriage. She collapsed in the bathroom, covered a towel in red dye, and screamed loud enough to wake him. The ambulance arrived. The ER staff gave her strange looks. She cried her way into a corner of the waiting room and refused most treatment, blaming trauma. Ethan sat with her all night. He brought flowers the next day, but the week after, something changed. He started watching her more closely, asking questions twice, smiling a little too softly when she spoke. One night, as she slept, he slipped her phone from under her pillow, and what he found confirmed his suspicion, a voice memo, her practicing her Oncocom pregnancy reveal, a screenshot of an Etsy receipt, fake positive pregnancy test, discreet shipping. He didn't confront her. He just stared at her as she slept and decided to play along, not to hurt her yet, but to make her think she won so he could destroy her later. On his terms. Chapter 2. Strings Attached. Lena Hart had never felt more secure. After the miscarriage, Ethan was doting, gentle, attentive, supportive in a way that surprised her. He held her at night, cooked for her, told her they'd try again one day when she was ready. And Lena believed him. She saw it as a second chance, not just to salvage the lie, but to build something real. The ring was still on her finger. The wedding planning resumed. And the guilt she felt? Small. Manageable. After all, what harm had she really done? She told herself he would have never proposed otherwise, that it was just a nudge. And now they were happy. Ethan didn't seem suspicious. He seemed perfect. Too perfect. He encouraged her to quit her job at the spa, said she deserved to focus on healing. He hired a wedding planner, gave her access to his secondary credit card, even offered to move them into a quieter property, better suited for a future family. Lena agreed. She thought she'd won. But Ethan was building something of his own, a trap. The new house wasn't just bigger. It was wired discrete cameras, motion-sensitive mics. Ethan paid for it in cash, bypassing contractors he didn't trust. Everything Lena said was recorded. Every call, every confession to her best friend Marcy, especially the ones where she laughed about how easily she had tricked him. "He's rich and lonely, Marcy. All I had to do was cry a little and bleed on command." Those recordings were copied to an encrypted drive labeled Fertile Lies. Meanwhile, Ethan started planting seeds. He subtly told his inner man, Gachanel, that Lena had been unstable, that she was struggling with grief, that something she said didn't make sense, that she might have imagined parts of her pregnancy. To outsiders, he seemed worried, loving, concerned for her mental health. To Lena, he seemed even more committed. He started encouraging therapy. Privately, he found a doctor willing to diagnose her with emotional dysregulation after one manipulated session and a planted prescription history. He was shaping a narrative, one she wouldn't even recognize until it swallowed her. One night, after wine and laughter and long, lazy kisses on the kitchen floor, Lena said, "You save me." Ethan smiled. "I know." The next day, she found a note on her bathroom mirror. "You only think you're the one holding the strings." She stared at it for a long time. Ethan swore he didn't write it. Said maybe it was Marcy. A joke. Maybe the cleaner. He shrugged it off, kissed her forehead, and left for the gym. But something shifted in her. She started checking the windows twice, rereading old texts, wondering if she'd left something out of place. If maybe, just maybe, someone knew. Then the first photo arrived, printed, mailed, no return address. It showed her standing in a parking lot outside the fake clinic she used to attend her fake prenatal appointments. But the building wasn't a clinic. It was a closed-down DMV. On the back of the photo was a single word, smile. Lena dropped it in the sink and turned on the faucet, her hands shaking. Somebody knew, and she had no idea who. Chapter 3. The unraveling Lena Hart's world had always been made of glass, polished, fragile, and full of reflections she could control. Now it was cracking. The photo had shaken her. Not just the image, but the message behind it. Smile wasn't a threat. It was a smirk. Someone wasn't just watching her. They were playing with her. She didn't tell Ethan. She couldn't. What if it was him? Instead, she confided in Marcy, her longtime friend and reluctant co-conspirator. Marcy had known about the fake test, the miscarriage lie, the whole messy game, but she didn't know what Lena had walked into now. "That's creepy," Marcy said, examining the photo under the kitchen light. "You think he found out?" Lena bit her lip. "If he had, wouldn't he have left me?" Marcy shrugged. "Maybe he's staying to make you sweat." Lena's chest tightened. That night, she searched the house, paranoid, methodical. She checked for cameras behind vents, in the smoke detectors, under the sink. Nothing, or at least, nothing she could find. What she didn't know was the cameras weren't in the obvious places. Ethan had hidden them in decoration. A vintage clock, a ceramic bowl, a hollowed-out plant pot. He watched her tear through the home like a trapped animal and smiled. The next move in his plan came 2 days later in the form of a wedding postponement. He delivered it casually over dinner. "I've been thinking," he said, swirling his wine. "Maybe we should wait a few months. You're still recovering emotionally, and I want our wedding to feel like a celebration, not an obligation." Lena froze. She nodded. But inside, panic bloomed. Postponement meant time. Time to investigate her. Time to change the narrative. Time to destroy her. She had to act first. She needed to flip the script, turn Ethan into the villain, paint herself as the broken, grieving fiancé struggling under the weight of his indifference. She reached out to a lifestyle blogger who'd once featured Ethan's company, told her an anonymous story about a woman who faked strength to hide her partner's emotional neglect after a tragic miscarriage. The article went viral. Ethan didn't respond. He didn't have to. The next day, two more photos arrived in the mail. One of Lena forging a doctor's note in her bedroom. The other of her practicing her surprise pregnancy face in the mirror. There was no note, just an address stamped on the envelope, Ethan's private P.O. box. Her stomach dropped. She confronted him carefully. "Do you ever get weird fan mail?" she asked, pretending to laugh. He looked up from his laptop. "No? Why?" "Just wondering." He smiled. "You okay?" "Of course," she said, but her voice cracked. That night, she barely slept. By morning, she'd made a decision. She needed leverage. If Ethan knew, if he was behind this, she needed something to hold over him, something he wouldn't want public. She started digging. Phone records, email history, quiet calls to women she suspected he might have dated, whispered questions to old co-workers. She wasn't above getting dirty. Not now. But what she found wasn't dirt. It was too clean, too controlled, almost like Ethan had erased everything he didn't want her to find months ago. It hit her like a wave. He knew. He'd known for weeks. And he wasn't just planning to leave. He was planning to ruin her. Chapter 4. The Burning Mirror. Lena Hart stared at herself in the mirror and saw someone she didn't recognize. Not the poised manipulator, not the ambitious bride-to-be, just a woman cornered by her own lies, haunted by a man who hadn't raised his voice, hadn't lifted a hand, yet had her shaking like prey. The worst part, he was still kind, still gentle, still bringing her breakfast in bed. It was psychological torture by silk glove. And Lena was beginning to fray. She started locking herself in the bathroom just to breathe, practicing stories in the mirror, how to twist the narrative if he finally confronted her, how to look shocked, how to cry on cue. But the mirror didn't cooperate anymore. Her face wouldn't obey. And the silence was louder than any fight. Ethan, meanwhile, was writing his version of the story, quietly, methodically. He'd hired a crisis PR expert, not for his image, for hers. He'd planted whispers in a few online gossip forums, unconfirmed but disturbing tips, anonymous comments about Lena faking medical trauma, leaking hints that the wedding was postponed due to serious behavioral concerns. He knew the internet would do the rest, and it did. Within days, a source close to the couple claimed Lena had suffered a psychotic break after losing the baby, that she was struggling with paranoia, that Ethan was standing by her, but quietly preparing for the worst. Even Marcy started pulling away. "I love you, but are you okay?" she asked on a call. Lena snapped. "You think I'm crazy too?" "I didn't say that." "You didn't have to." Marcy paused. "He's making you look unstable, Lena. I don't know how, but he's doing it, and you're playing right into it." The line went dead. Lena screamed, threw her phone against the wall. The screen shattered like glass under pressure, just like her life. That night, she searched Ethan's office, desperate, furious. She found a locked drawer. Inside, a USB drive, printed stills from hidden camera footage, a folder labeled Exit Strategy. She plugged the drive into her laptop. Her breath caught. Videos, dozens, her, on the phone with Marcy, bragging about the fake test, her, researching fake sonograms, her, laughing about bleeding for a wedding ring, all of it, time-stamped, watermarked, curated. Ethan had built a weapon, and now she was standing in its blast radius. He came home early. She didn't hear him enter. He found her in his office, holding the USB drive, their eyes locked. He didn't shout, didn't reach for her. He just tilted his head. "You were never supposed to see that yet," he said, calm as water. "What is this?" she whispered. "It's your legacy," he replied. "I thought you might want to say in how it ends." Lena couldn't breathe. He stepped closer. "You thought lying to me would trap me. You thought you could bleed your way into a fortune. But you forgot one thing." She stepped back. "What?" Ethan's voice dropped. "I don't lose." Chapter 5. Public Collapse. The next morning, Lena woke up to war. It began on social media, subtle, then savage. An anonymous account posted a blurred photo of her pregnancy test next to an Etsy receipt with the caption, "Some people will fake anything for a ring." Gold Digger Files. Within an hour, the image had gone viral. Lena hadn't even logged in yet. She was brushing her teeth when her phone lit up with 5 missed calls, 2 voicemails, and 63 new DMs. She opened her messages. "You disgust me. How could you lie about something like that? Hope your wedding is fake too." She stumbled back, heart pounding. Tried to call Marcy, no answer. Tried to call Ethan, straight to voicemail. She turned on the TV. There he was. Ethan Caldwell, sitting on a morning news panel, speaking softly with that same sympathetic smile he'd used to mask the trap. "I've decided to postpone the wedding indefinitely," he told the host, his voice filled with restraint. "This has been a difficult time. I loved Lena, but I now understand she wasn't well." The host leaned in. "Is it true she faked the pregnancy?" Ethan hesitated. A masterstroke. "Out of respect for her privacy, I won't answer that." The implication was louder than a confession. Lena dropped her phone. Every part of her life was crumbling in real time. She raced to her laptop, opened her email. The wedding planner had canceled. The venue pulled out. Sponsors and designers who'd offered partnerships for their elite wedding of the year were ghosting her. She opened her inbox and stared at a new subject line. Urgent legal notice, public defamation, and breach of contract. Inside, a letter from Ethan's legal team. Cold, clean, brutal. He was suing her for emotional damages and reputational harm. She couldn't breathe. He was dismantling her in public with surgical precision, and she couldn't stop it. Lena went live on Instagram, panicked, tearful, ranting into her front-facing camera. "This is all a setup. He's doing this because I left him, because I knew too much. He's twisting the truth, and you're all letting him." But the internet didn't believe her. Not after the videos Ethan had leaked anonymously to media outlets. Footage of her practicing a fake sob in the mirror. Clips of her saying, "He's so dumb, he'd marry a shadow if it bled for him." Screenshots of text messages to Marcy about faking miscarriage paperwork. Lena's voice filled every headline, but not the way she wanted. "Groom calls off. Wedding to baby bump faker." From spa girl to scam queen, the rise and fall of Lena Hart. Caldwell heir, outsmarts, devious fiancé in 5 Miller's trap. Her inbox was a graveyard of burning bridges. The final blow came in the form of a notification. "You've been tagged in a video." She tapped it. It was a stitched montage. Her Instagram lies versus Ethan's calm TV interviews, edited with dramatic music, ending with a headline, Lena Hart, the woman who tried to scam a billionaire and got burned. The comments were merciless, and Ethan, silent, private, untouchable, because Lena had made the first move, but he had rewritten the ending, and now the world believed his story. Even she was starting to doubt her own. Chapter 6, Rock Bottom. The silence was louder than the headlines. By now, Lena Hart was radioactive. Her name, once paired with luxury brands and wedding blogs, was now the punchline of every podcast, the face of deceit in viral TikToks, the blueprint for every red flag relationship tweet. Her phone buzzed with alerts she couldn't turn off. Woman who faked baby for ring. Now homeless? Exclusive. Lena Hart evicted after Ethan Colwell cuts off support. Sources say she's living in her car. The last one wasn't true, not yet, but it was close. The penthouse was gone. Ethan had given her 30 days to vacate. She used the first 10 to scream at lawyers, the next 10 to try and manipulate sympathy from old contacts, and the final 10 staring at the walls, unable to pack. She walked out with 2 suitcases, 1 cracked laptop, and a face the world no longer trusted. And Ethan never returned a call, never sent a text, never acknowledged her again. That was the worst part. He erased her like a stain, publicly gentle, privately ruthless. The only person who answered her calls was Marcy, and even she sounded drained. Lena, you need to stop trying to fix this, she said one night. The more you fight, the more pathetic it looks. I was manipulated too, Lena yelled. He played me. Marcy was quiet, then said, you started the game. Click. Lena collapsed onto the motel bed, makeup smudged, pride gutted. She opened her laptop. There was only one folder left, a final copy of the sonogram Photoshop file, the fake doctor's note template, and the voice memo of her rehearsal breakdown. She deleted none of it. Instead, she recorded a new video. To everyone watching this, I lied. I lied to him. I lied to myself. I wanted a shortcut. I thought I could fake a life into existence. But the truth? I was broke, scared, and tired of being invisible. Ethan didn't break me. I broke myself. But he made sure there was nothing left. She paused, wiped her face. Now you can stop waiting for the crash. It's already happened. She uploaded it, hit publish, then shut the laptop and closed her eyes. But the world wasn't done with her, because Ethan, still watching silently, saw the video go live and sent a final text to his PR team. Let her have this one. It's better than anything we could have scripted. He smiled, because psychological revenge wasn't about punishment. It was about permanence, and Lena Hart's reputation would never recover. Chapter 7, Echoes of the Lie. 6 months later, Lena Hart was a ghost of a headline. The media had moved on to new scandals, fresh betrayals, and glossier influencers with better lighting. But Lena remained in the shadows, her name still flagged by Google alerts, and her face still instantly recognizable to anyone with Wi-Fi and a memory. She lived in a sublet outside the city now. No photos on the walls, no social media. Her phone had been factory reset twice, but the silence felt heavier than the noise had ever been. And then came the podcast. Scandal Files, Episode 24, The Pregnancy That Wasn't. She hadn't agreed to it, hadn't given an interview, but that didn't stop them. They recounted,